kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Given me for our teaching today, and we're calling it We Must Continue to Stand. We must continue to stand. And I'm basing this from 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. And the apostle says this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. These are words of comfort and help in times of trouble and persecution. And the Holy Spirit is saying exactly the same to us today, with what we're facing, what we are hearing and we are experiencing. The same words that were spoken through him are the same words that are spoken today. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. In many ways, these are not only words of encouragement, but they are also words of warning of what we're facing, what is happening. And I will open up more on this as the Lord gives on this, but firstly, we need to understand that God has given us the power of the Spirit to stand, but to stand not only in ourselves, but we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where the power that works on our behalf works. If you stand in your own ability, your own intelligence, your own understanding, you will fall. But if you stand humbly in the presence of Christ, then the promise of the Word of God is that you stand in His Spirit, His power. In other words, He enables us to be able to stand, particularly for these last days. You see, so much of what God is doing in us is for this very purpose, so that we don't go back like so many of our brothers and sisters have gone back in various different ways and forms, whether they go back because of fear, or they go back because of unbelief, or they go back because their heart is still in the world, family, many things can get in the way that can cause us to retract and go back. And we have to be on our guard with this, because sometimes the Lord allows us to be tried and tested in which to see where our affections and our hearts lie. So we will be at times tried and tested with regard to this, and we shouldn't think it strange or peculiar, because God is looking to see whom we're standing in, whether it's in ourself or it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 16 to 21. Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations for ever and ever. Amen. I know I've recited that verse many times, but there is a huge amount that is contained within standing in Christ. And let's just look at it briefly again, just to remind ourselves. And that it says here, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. In other words, in the heart. Not just the head, it is in the heart. The heart has been changed. The heart is being worked upon as we bow the knee in humility and allow him to do that. For the what purpose? It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So we see that we stand by faith, and our faith is grounded in our fellowship in the love of God, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. In other words, that is a metaphorical understanding of the depth, the height, the length of God, which really we can't work out. But it gives us some indication of the work that God can do in our lives and hearts by giving us the revelation of Almighty God. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So we're coming to a place where we can't even put our understanding to what God is doing with us and through us. So often we're trying to understand, we're trying to understand what God is doing. And sometimes you've just got to accept that God knows. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. I find as I go on in this walk, I find as things are unfolding in this life, this world, I don't have the answers unless God reveals. And that is why we have the Holy Spirit, who has come back to us to lead us and guide us and teach us, and he will show us. The trouble is, we want instant answers now. And God doesn't work in that way. But you can be well assured the Holy Spirit will confirm and reconfirm, because he is the Spirit of truth. And so to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Not filled with a load of head knowledge and facts. There are too many pursuing all of that. No, God knows how to fill us with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we may know him, and everything flows as a result of that. And then he says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the powers that work within us. So God abundantly works within us, even the things that we don't ask. We can't even begin to conceive or imagine. He's working on our behalf. So God's doing infinitely more than what you're just asking for. And we are asked to ask in faith, to ask for the right things. We are encouraged to do that, but yet he's even greater than that in what he's doing in your life, my life. So there we are. Let's take heart to him. And he says, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. As I said last week, God does nothing outside his church, his body. And that is what we are baptized into, the body of Christ, to be blessed, preserved, fed, and kept because he does nothing outside the body of Christ. And many Christians think they can do it on their own, and they can't. It's contrary to Scripture, to the will of God. Let's turn also to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says again here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So your strength is in the Lord, and not only in the Lord, but in the power of his might. So there's an emphasis of his power working on your behalf. I wish brothers and sisters in the body of Christ learn this basic principle that we can do nothing unless the power of God works on our behalf. We will always compromise otherwise. We will always fall for our feelings and our emotions instead of faith. We will always take a substitute. We will always listen to man and not God unless the power of God works on our behalf. And God is going to make you desperate, if need be, to have that working in your life. Because it's not only just words we read, it's an actual experience. It is an experience of knowing that God's power is delivering me. God's power is saving me. God's power is delivering me from temptation and the evil one, and all those things that we face in this life. For what purpose? So that he may be glorified. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the glory of God. And that is why he makes available these mighty blessings that are found in Jesus Christ, which are blessings for us for his glory. Why is it about his glory? Because the world, the universe, was not created for man. It was created for his son, Jesus Christ. It is about his glory. The very fact that you confess him as Lord and Savior of your life is for his glory. The very fact that we are here today in fellowship is for his glory. He has done everything for us. And all he asks of us is to trust, to believe him with that childlike faith, and to know that he never gets it wrong. Did you know that God's power has to work against our senses, those six senses that control us otherwise? He's greater than that, because we will always compromise. We will always take a substitute. We will always run to the arm of the flesh otherwise, and not to God. So this power through the new birth, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is absolutely imperative for us to be able to continue to stand in these last days. Let's see what also it says in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You see? It's one truth, it's one God, it's one gospel. Not all these variations that we have around today. This liberal gospel that says, well, you may not have all the truth, you may not understand the word of God, but as long as you love the Lord, as long as you love God, that's all that matters. It's not all that matters. Notice what he says here, that we stand fast in one spirit, one mind. Whose mind? The mind of Christ, that he ministers to us by the Holy Spirit through the revelation of his word, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, we love the Lord, we love the word, we love to walk by faith. And so we work together in this, helping, encouraging, supporting one another, praying for one another. You see, this is what church is about, and we've lost sight of this today because the enemy is sadly so rife in many churches. And what does it say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1? Philippians chapter 4 verse 1, therefore my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So he continues to stress this standing. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to stress this to us as we see upon the earth things getting worse and worse. As the Lord said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And we are to stand, we are to discern, we are to watch the seasons, we are to watch spiritually the sky, the conditions, that spiritual weather, because God is showing us, he's getting us ready. But not only that, with this standing, as we know, comes also this watching, which Jesus said we are to do. Turn with me quickly, if you will, to Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And so he calls us to watch. Now, it's no point watching if there's not something that he's going to show us. We may not know the hour the Lord is coming, that is for the catching away, the rapture of the church, but he calls us to watch, so we must be seeing something, as he wouldn't call us to do that. But of course, we are not going to find it by going to the arm of the flesh. We're not going to find what we're looking for by our attempts. It's going to be revealed to us by the Spirit. And it's that that we have to watch for. We have to watch and hear what the Spirit reveals, and not the arm of the flesh or my attempts in trying to understand and assimilate. We have got to learn to let go and allow the Spirit to reveal and teach us. Jesus said that's what we're to do. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but God does. And he says if you watch, then there is something he's going to show us and prepare us. And I think the Lord is already beginning to show us these things. For what purpose? So that we can continue to stand. Because if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to show, to reveal, to teach you, you won't stand. In other words, you won't stand as an overcomer. You may go back, you may just be saved by the skin of your teeth. But who wants to do that? God's called us so that we can stand confidently in these last days for this very purpose. But we have learned something, that our teaching, our understanding, our spiritual insight comes by the Holy Spirit. And that takes faith. That takes consecration. That takes a walk with God. So we must continue then to stand. That's what we're looking at today with regard to this title. You see, a building reveals what foundation it has. By the length of time that it often stands, we see some very ancient buildings, particularly in the UK. Some go back over 1,000 years. We still have castles that are well over 1,000 years, and they still continue to stand. We're told that the Romans were great engineers. They built many castles and fortresses and walls and villas and all those sort of things, and some of them stand. And even when archaeologists go and search and find these ancient foundations, one of the interesting things is the walls may have gone, but the foundations are so often intact because they were great master builders. Well, take it with the Almighty God. God is the greatest builder, and he is building through you and I. He is building through his church, that she stands in these last days. And we know that we stand upon the foundation, the rock, who is Jesus Christ. Why am I stressing all of this? Because of what we are facing now. What is coming up on the horizon? What we are hearing? What is going on? This is why God calls us to stand and to watch. This watchfulness also comes as a result of a church that prays and intercedes. A church that comes together for prayer and supplication and spiritual warfare. All of this is part of this standing, this watching, this discerning. And there is much that God wants us to pray on. There is much that we have to get into intercession and prayer, because we are finding that a lot of our prayer is warfare against these powers, principalities, dominions, which God has given the authority to the church to bind. For he says, what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. What is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. God has given us those spiritual handcuffs. If police come and arrest you, they bind your hands for the very purpose that you can't run away. You're being arrested. You're being fettered. You're going to be probably put in a cell for a while or whatever it is. So your freedom is restricted. That is exactly what we do when we get into spiritual warfare. That is what we do against the powers, principalities. We can't destroy them. And we know what is going to happen in the end. We know that the world is going to be deceived for a season with the coming forth of the Antichrist. But all the while, the church is still here on the earth, and she is a praying church, a church that is also in warfare. She has that authority and power to spiritually bind the powers of darkness trying to take over. Because once the church is removed, we then see the powers of darkness begin to take over. We know this because we see it in the book of Revelation. The first three chapters speak of the churches in Asia Minor, those seven churches. And then when we turn to chapter 4, what do we see? We see a different scene. We then see we're in heaven. And there the church is up there in heaven with the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he is the only one who's worthy to open up the scroll and to pronounce the doom, the judgments upon the earth and the four horsemen ready to go forth. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. If you spend that time and pray over the word of God, God will reveal, he will show the events. But up until then, the church has a responsibility because this is part of our light that shines in this darkness. And sadly, most of the church and our brothers and sisters are asleep to all of this. But praise God, we are not, because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals. He shows us, as he said he would do. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. That is what he told the disciples. Why am I stressing all of this? Well, Hebrews 12 gives us a clear indication of this, as I bring this to a conclusion. Hebrews 12. And let's look at verse 25. Hebrews 12 and verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, which he is now, through the Holy Spirit, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heavens. So, under the old covenant, we know that God shook the earth. We know that through the flood, where God said, I will send rain upon the earth, and eight souls of Noah were saved. That was the earth being shaken, but he says in the last shaking, but also the heavens as well. And so with the great tribulation that is approaching fast, we are going to see it's not only going to involve the earth, but also the heavens as well. The heavens will be shaken also. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that is why God wants you to continue to stand. By standing in Christ, as the shaking gets worse and worse, you will be able to stand and not be distracted or become fearful through the shaking, because the shaking is starting, brothers and sisters. And it's not going to get any easier. It's going to get worse and worse. The shaking will become more violent. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, and that is unfortunately how he's coming. Because he's coming to judge the earth and wickedness and to put down our enemies, his enemies. Look what it says here. So we have to stand, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, but in the strength and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has triumphed, he has overcome at Calvary. That's why we can stand in confidence. But look what's happening there. And we are experiencing this shaking. And this shaking is not only going to be the earth, but it's going to be the heavens as well. Why the heavens? Because the powers of darkness have to be shaken. And that is why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions. And as we start to get into warfare and spiritual warfare, so it is setting in motion the shaking of the heavens as well. Why do I stress this? Because the God of this world, who blinds the eyes of most, that is what he does. He blinds. He keeps the world in darkness. And the gospel is light to the world. The church is light to the world. You, brothers and sisters, are light to the world. And that's why he attacks. That's why he tries to suppress. This is why he tries to push us down or to go back. He doesn't like us standing. Because it's in our standing we expose him. That is why it says in the scriptures, they that endure to the end shall be saved. That endurance means to stand. To stand in Christ. And he's given us something to stand in. Not in ourselves, but upon the foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, which is the church. It's not a denomination. It's not the Roman Catholic who all think they are the church. No, it is a called out people who stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, whose head is the Lord Jesus Christ, and not some man or pope or elder. Sadly, so many of our brothers and sisters are in bondage. They are controlled. Because that is what the powers of darkness do. They control. And are we not seeing control coming forth now? Through technology, through AI, Big Brother watching us now in everything. And the world goes along with it all and thinks it's all such a good idea, because it likes to let you think you are safe. It's looking after you. It's watching over you. Did you know that all of this technology, AI, is representing Illuminati, Freemasonry, whose head is the eye, the third eye, Mystery Babylon? That is the eye looking after you. It's going to protect you. That is the nature of the third eye, but it is deceptive. It is not God's eyes. It is a counterfeit. It is a lie. It's of the occult. And you always see the eye at the top of a pyramid. And the pyramid speaks of power. It opens up into the spiritual realm. That's why people sit under these pyramids, so that it gives them power to open up into the occult. It's like portals that open up. And yet Christians are so blind and stupid to all of this. They don't understand this. And it's time to wake up what's going on around us. Because God has given us power over this, to bind these works. I sometimes war against the third eye that's working through Illuminati. And witchcraft. I war against it, so that it hinders the powers of dark people seeing what the enemy wants them to see. Because that's what he reveals to them through the third eye. What is it for? It's not just something that represents something or the enemy. That tells us something. What it does, what it's for, you see. And you see in many cults, many ancient religions, you see that emblem in some way or form. It's a deceiving eye. It likes to think you are protected, you are looked after. And that's exactly where it's working again in these last days, through this technology and AI, artificial intelligence. And a lot of people think it's a wonderful idea because I'm protected by it. They know where I am. I'm protected by my health so that they can monitor my health 24/7. They know what I'm doing, what I'm up to. They can. It's like the world is selling its soul to the devil, the deceiver, the liar. And that is why God sets us free from all that. Because God says, I will counsel you with my eye. God watches us. Day or night, we're never out of his sight. And guess what? God has two eyes. There's a difference. Why two? Because we know the Bible says two is the number of witness. It's also the number of balance. We have to stand, brothers and sisters, as I close now, because I believe we're entering another phase with this COVID. I don't think we've seen anything yet to what is coming. They're all believing that this vaccine is going to be the answer and everything. Well, we're starting to see that it's not by any means. And we're very aware that's what's working behind this. We're very aware of what is going on around the world through all of this. We're going to see economies shaken. People losing jobs. Many things that we depended upon, relied upon, you won't be able to anymore. We don't know the mass deaths that are going to come as a result of these vaccines, because we know that it's going to hinder their immune system when other things come. We are in for a rough ride, I believe, brothers and sisters, and we need to stand in these last days. We need to continue to stand. Not in ourselves, not in our own strength, but in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows, but God has got it under complete control. And it may take us by surprise, it might affect us, but it doesn't God. And we can never say, as I close now, that God did not warn us. God has been warning us for years and years and years what is coming upon the earth. Therefore, we must stand. Call upon the Lord. Ask for his help. Ask for his power to work in your life, your heart, to stand. We've got these promises here that we can claim, we can call and call upon. These promises are ours in Christ Jesus. We're without excuse. We don't have to fall. We don't have to go back like so many have. If I stand in the power and strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to go back. We don't have to fall, because we stand in his power and in his might. I know this is a bit sober, this teaching today, but I have that burden in my heart. And I believe that We need much prayer. We've got to get together for prayer meetings. I know the enemy doesn't like the saints praying, but we are in very real times. And sadly, I don't think the future looks very good. But to those who are in Christ, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Lord is going to preserve and keep us. He will feed us. He will provide for us, because it's Psalm 91. But do not be deterred. Do not be put off by the things that you will hear and the things that you will see. We have to stand in the faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand together as the body of Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we hear what you are saying. We know that you are preparing us because you love us. You called us to be watchful. You called us to be a discerning people. You called us to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we know that these are somber times. We know, Father, that there's no messing about, no procrastinating or leaving it till tomorrow. It's today we seek the Lord. It's today we walk with him. It's today that we stand in his power and might. And what tomorrow brings, we just continue to trust you and walk by faith. So Lord, I thank you for our gathering. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Lord, may they stand firm upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And Father, may they draw their strength and power and might and knowledge and understanding from Christ in them, the hope of glory. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.